host, Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
News for the Soul is now in its 25th year of broadcasting. Tune in live or visit the archives at newsforthesoul.com. That's newsforthesoul.com. Next on News for the Soul, Healing Through Tarot with Christine. Christine is an intuitive tarot card reader and energy healer who assists those on their spiritual journey, helping them come into alignment with their soul's path, mission, and divine purpose. Her divination tools of choice include oracle cards, pendulums, and channeling by automatic writing. Please welcome Christine back to News for the Soul.
Hello, welcome back to the show. It's Christine here with Healing Through Tarot with Christine. I'm an intuitive tarot card reader and shamanic energy healer with a passion for assisting those on their spiritual journey do the work necessary to bring them into alignment with their soul's path, mission, and divine purpose. Today, I'm really excited for this show. It's going to be a healer's roundtable with hopefully three of my colleagues and fellow students from my two-year shamanic training course, Jill Coper, Warren Coughlin, and hopefully Asia Wishart can join us shortly. And before we get started, with your guys' permission, I just pulled a few tarot cards for each of you just to kind of introduce you to the show. If you guys are okay with me sharing that, just let me know.
Absolutely.
Great. And
absolutely.
Jill? Okay, awesome.
That would be
okay,
great.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, so the deck that I use is called the Lightseer's Tarot. It's an amazing deck. So for Jill, I pulled the beautiful Nine of Pentacles. So this card is all about independence. It's someone who's very strong in their power, in their sovereignty. They know what they want. They know where they're going. I love the depiction of this card because the person is in white, and white for me is the color of purity, which Jill definitely is. And it has an owl. An owl, like you guys know, is all about sight. So I feel like, Jill, your intuitive seer ability is going to be coming on stronger and stronger. So that was for Jill. And then for Asia, I picked the beautiful Six of Wands. And in this deck, it's so nice. It's someone on stage, and she's receiving lots of recognition for all of the work that she's done. Asia is a wonderful coach. She offers shamanic healing and theta healing, and she has a very dynamic Instagram channel, the Asia Wishart. So it's very fitting that this Six of Wands card came up for her. And then last but not least, Warren, holding this divine masculine blueprint for all of us. He got two nice cards, the Ten of Pentacles and the Emperor, which, I mean, anyone who knows tarot knows that that is... that's the divine masculine. So he's someone that's a provider, a protector, knows how to hold space, and just really has that divine masculine energy. So those were your cards, guys. I hope you guys enjoyed those messages, and they really did fit your personalities and how I see you guys. Okay, so today we're going to talk about, like shamanism, the course that we're taking, our healing journeys, what brought us to the program, and any insights that we have to share. So maybe we'll just start by going around, and you guys can just give a brief description of your background, your story, what shamanism means to you, things like that. And we can start with Jill. If Jill, you're ready, you could take us away.
Hi, yes. Oh my goodness. My background with, I guess, the shamanism side of things is just this two-year program that we've been in together. I've always been kind of on a spiritual path and had friends interested in this world of shamanism. I actually initially wasn't very interested. I thought, oh, I don't need that. Healing, what's that? I mean, I was reading books and, on the path in my own ways, but I just didn't think I needed that. But somehow, so many of my friends were involved in this work and working with a shaman that many of us know now as Pete from the Eighth Fire from Toronto or Ontario, Canada. And I just couldn't believe the evolution and the empowerment and the changes I have seen in these people. I've seen them evolve their entire lives and change the lives of the people closest to them. And just, it was mind-blowing stuff to me. And I thought, okay, well, you know, I think I need to give this a little bit more attention. There's something to this. I mean, you know, let me look more into this. And then several years later, I started going to a shaman, started opening my mind up to the idea of like, you can heal things within your life, either mentally, spiritually, emotionally, or otherwise. I didn't even realize I had stuff I needed to heal. And then I started seeing shifts in myself. And then I thought, and then I needed more and more answers. I said to this shaman I was seeing who became my friend, I said, tell me more. I need more answers. And later on, she said to me, why don't you take Pete's shamanism course? Like, he's offering it now. And I guess here I am now with all you guys on the path. And here we are. So that's as much as I'll say right now, because I don't want to talk forever. But yeah, that's where my journey with it all began.
And maybe just one last thing before we move on, if you could just explain what shamanism means to you, like what would your definition be of it? Because I know it's a loaded word and a lot of us have trouble defining it. So how would you define shamanism? Like what's your interpretation of it or your definition?
I would describe it as not a religion. It is a way of life. It is a philosophy, perhaps, a way of life. A way to bring healing to yourself and others. That is my best definition at this moment in time.
That's awesome. I like that a lot. Thank you. And if we have Asia on, we'll move on to Asia. If you could just tell us a little bit about your background, how you got into shamanism, and maybe like your definition of it, what it means to you.
Okay, sure. So how I got into shamanism, my background is it's so funny. I always stutter, but it's like my own story, like as if somebody else knows it better than I do. Okay, so what happened that really, I've been on the spiritual path, like same with Jill, from the time I was really young. I was like highly intuitive. I got really curious in junior high school. I read the Celestine Prophecy, was kind of my intro to energy. And then a few years later, The Secret came out and I got really curious about manifesting. And then my life kind of took a turn and it went through some heavier areas. And I kind of like lost myself a bit in my connection. And manifesting was like the one piece of like the spiritual world or the energy world that I always stayed like super connected to. So I always felt like I could manifest and be a good manifester. And then I studied it. And that got me into studying intuition. And then I went through another dark night of the soul in probably, I want to say 2018, 2019, somewhere around there. And it was right around my 30th birthday. And I was like, had all these expectations of how my life was going to be at 30. And it was like, none of those things. And I was like, okay, what? Like, this is not working. My life isn't working like this. I have to do something different. It was one of those like enough is enough moments, the way a dark night of the soul tends to do often. So from there, I really dove into personal development. I really dove into spirituality. And when I was at this event for women who wanted to grow spiritually led businesses, I kept connecting with healers. We were in Miami, and every time I sat down at a table or went for Joe and the Juice or anything like that, I found myself next to a healer, and I felt really drawn and connected and inspired to this woman named Anna Kitney, who to me was just like magical. She was it. And she owns and runs a Theta Healing, I guess you could say, school out of the UK. And she was like really, really inspirational for me. I felt really called into healing after spending a weekend with her. And so I got into, I guess, being a practitioner in Theta Healing. I had experienced healing through receiving sessions, but I had never been on the other side of it in the practitioner hat until I started studying Theta Healing a few years ago. And the cool thing about Theta Healing is it's really quick. Like, you're in and out. You can like pull and cancel beliefs, download new ones. It's like super, super fast. And what I noticed was missing for me was like this, almost like a ceremony around it. Like not to say anything disparaging about Theta Healing, because I love it and I use it, and I use it in my coaching and my services I offer all the time, but it does seem to be a little bit clinical in comparison to shamanism, where shamanism, everything's a ceremony. Everything, you're slow and you're present and you're taking your time with things and you're really in the discovery of it the whole time. Whereas Theta Healing is like, snap your fingers, you have a result, which is awesome. And I think there's a time and place for both, and there can be room for both. But what was missing for me was the ceremony part of it. So I'd been wanting to do Pete's course for years. I want to say like 5 or 6 years, but he didn't open it up for a really long time. And so when he finally opened it up, somehow I had so much resistance to it that I missed the first weekend. And I was like, maybe I'm not supposed to do it. But I think like when you're doing soul work, like all your resistance surfaces. So of course I felt like I didn't want to, or maybe I wasn't supposed to, or maybe the time wasn't right. All those sorts of things that can kind of come up and get in your way. And then the first weekend of training happened and I noticed I felt jealous. And I'm not a jealous person. Like, I really don't have that experience very often. So I'm like, oh my God, I'm jealous. Like, what? So I'm like, okay, if I'm having like this sort of response, maybe I'm supposed to be doing it. And then I saw Pete post something that said, you know, if you miss the first weekend, it's not too late. Like, you could still apply. And I thought, should I apply? Should I apply? And then I was going to sleep on it. And I said, you know, universe, give me a sign, like show me by tomorrow. If I'm supposed to do this, like give me a sign. And I went to bed and I woke up to a text from my sister's now fiance the next morning that triggered me in a way I don't even have words. Like, it sent me into a tailspin. And, I was super, super angry and I couldn't even see through it for like almost the whole day. And then I realized by the end of the day, oh, I'm so triggered. I clearly have something to heal here. And so I'm like, okay, this is pointing to something that I really do need to heal. And I asked the universe for a sign. And like, I woke up to the biggest in my face, like flag waving. So I'm like, I'm going to take this as my sign. So I had like gratitude toward him for pointing me at what, like in the direction I needed to go. I signed up for Pete's program. I was late, but I did it. And then the first things we healed in the next weekend were like all the issues that I had with my sister's fiance. Like, it wasn't even about him. It was like what inside me it had stirred up. So I thought that was really cool and really divine. Sorry, I feel like I'm talking your ear off. So I guess I'll close with saying, what is shamanism to me? I think it's a modality of energy medicine and spiritual healing that is offered through traditional, you'd say like indigenous teachings that are passed down. And I think it has a lot to do with the earth. Like the earth is a big part of it. Mother Earth, like the ceremonies all reflect with the earth, whereas some other modalities of healing, like you go upward. For me, shamanism is almost like you go down, like into the earth, and it's very grounding. So I guess just a modality of energy medicine.
Yeah, thanks for sharing, Asia. That's so cool. Another synchronicity that we have. Me and Asia finally met for the first time just a few weeks ago when I was visiting Calgary, and we were like, oh my God, are we the same person? Because I also missed the first class, and my story was a little bit different, but I just signed up for it. I didn't sign up for it until the first class had already passed, so that's interesting. And I think I did work with you that first weekend about healing the issues with your sister's fiance, which is interesting. Yeah, and I really liked, I think we've talked about this before, the difference between modalities such as theta healings, where it's more in the upper realms and it's more lighter and angelic, whereas the shamanism is a bit more grounded and tied to the earth element. So I think, yeah, I definitely like incorporating the balance of different modalities, and I find that shamanism gets more to the root of issues, but in a light and gentle way. It's not something to be afraid of or scared of. So thank you for sharing. And then last but not least, we'll just get over to Warren. If Warren can share a little bit about like your background, what brought you to the program, and what shamanism means to you.
Sounds good. Thank you for the introduction and the wonderful card pulling. I appreciate
that. Oh, my pleasure.
Yeah, very much. And so, Christine, you brought us all together, and I'm grateful for that. My journey began through a personal drive and addiction to personal development. I really sort of, like some of the other people on the call, and I think Jill mentioned it, and I think Asia did too, I really, you know, kind of resonated with The Secret, and I wanted to find out what this was all about, and if I could manifest something, you know, what are the limits to that? And so it started out as a journey to abundance, to money. And I created some abundance in my life, and I enjoyed some of the things that come along with that. And it wasn't the answer. It's not the solution. Money is material. And so once I had the money, not that I'm, you know, filthy rich or anything like that, but I was able to attract a bunch of abundance into my life, and something was missing. So I went along and followed my instincts and got into meditation, you know, maybe with stillness I could find what it was I was looking for. And it certainly helped. Meditation is a great tool, again, to ground us and bring us back into our center. And meditation led me to breath work. And breath work, you know, breath really is the spirit moving through the body. And it sort of brought up some new things and brought up some new challenges, some new triggers, some new sensations. And with breath work also came yoga. And so I started to move my body more. I'm 52 years old, just turned 52 actually a week ago. And for the majority of my life, I actually didn't have a good connection with my body. And so yoga and breath work allowed me to connect with my body and understand a little bit more. But something was still missing. Something was blocking and preventing me from sort of, call it ascending, but moving forward through some of the things that I was going through in my life. So that led me to the healer's journey. And like everyone on the call here, I'm on that journey, and I'm very grateful for it. I met a healer named Chelsea, and she's actually a student of Pete's. I worked with her extensively for about a year. And what we brought up and healed was profound. I had done work and I had done a lot of work, but I wasn't able to access the things that I could access with her guidance, her help. And that really changed my life. And it changed my life in such a profound way that I started to see some of these things in my life that needed to be changed. And so I went through a transformation. I went through a bunch of changes in my life. I got divorced and separated from my ex-wife. And my brother ended up passing away in a car accident, a car crash with his two sons in the car. And then his wife ended up taking her life about a month later. And so that brought me to my sort of experience with the dark night of the soul. I really had to do some deep inner work. Came to the conclusion that I needed more of this and seeked some of the advice and healing from some of the other healers that that were in the area, and had a very profound session with an SRT healer. And that sort of came to I came to the conclusion through that and through Chelsea's encouragement that I should take Pete's course and really just take it for myself. And, you know, this would be a profound way of life-changing experience and, you know, well worth the investment. And, like, it's a two-year program. So just, you know, take it and use it for yourself and see what happens. I didn't have any intention of actually sharing this with anybody. And that's since changed. As I got into this medicine and into this work, I really started to change even more. I started to see the triggers that came up in my life. I started to see some of the things that I had been avoiding, that I had been suppressing, which is quite common for males in our society today. I didn't allow emotion to, like, be part of my, not only my daily life, but my life in general. And so once I was able to access some of these emotions that had been suppressed so long, I started to feel my body change. And it's quite a transformational process when you can feel physically what's going on. You kind of know mentally that things are changing, and then you see the emotions sort of stir up and come up, which is, you know, feel it to heal it is something that I really resonate with. I mean, you have to have and sort of experience these emotions to allow them to flow through your body and through your life and, like, and out of you. They're trapped. They're locked into our bodies lots of times, and sometimes it's from this lifetime, and sometimes it's from previous lifetimes or, you know, lineage or our ancestors or mothers and fathers and relatives. So I started to access some of that stuff, and that was, again, life-changing for me. I began to see things evolve in my life that I didn't actually know were possible. That kind of brought me to a journey of, like, okay, how do I bring this all together, and how do I experience this and share this with others? And so I've in the middle of and almost completed a breathwork facilitator training course. I'm obviously in Pete's training for the eighth fire. I've done my meditation teacher training, and I'm preparing to, and I'm not quite ready yet, to offer services to other people that are on a similar journey. And, you know, what does that mean? To me, it's It's a journey and a connection to spirit and to our center and to our being, our body, and our energetic bodies. You know, I didn't realize that I was so much more than just this physical body. I knew I was more. I knew I had a soul, but I didn't know how deep that went. And I think I have a better understanding of that today. So, you know, and I appreciate your comments earlier. There is a divine masculine in all of us, as there is a divine feminine in all of us. And I'm accessing this masculine energy and bringing it forward into my life. And what does that mean? Well, that means I've become and I am a safe container for the divine feminine. I'm taking more of a leadership role. I'm becoming more decisive. I'm becoming a little bit more upfront, and you know, I'm voicing my desires, my opinions, and my needs, whereas I sort of withheld a lot of that before. And just to finish off, I will define shamanism for myself, given the history and like what I've kind of been through to get to this point. I feel like shamanism is a way and a method and an effective one to access our unconscious wounds, to access the things within us that are not necessarily conscious. They're not something that we can just mentally sit down and access. Shamanism brings us on journeys and on exploration to those places that we wouldn't normally go. And so that's shamanism for me. And I agree with Asia and Jill that it really is an earth sort of based medicine. There's a big, strong connection with Mother Earth and Father Sky, but, you know, really Mother Earth. And it's a sacred connection. And it's one that I'm very grateful for, because grounding has also changed my life. I didn't realize the impact grounding could have on being more centered, on being more aware of what's going on around me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's beautiful. Thanks so much, Warren. There's lots of really great information there. It's really easy to listen to you talk. Yeah, I liked how you mentioned there was, it really is a body, soul, mind connection. And you kind of, through the breath work and the yoga plus the shamanism, you kind of notice these changes in your emotions and changes in your body. Maybe we can just go around and see if anyone else has anyone else experienced like changes in your mind, your body, and your soul through doing this work. Maybe Jill, we can start with you.
I can say the thing that I've noticed most within my body is that I wasn't a grounded person. I never quite understood it. I was always kind of thought of as somewhere else, a little bit flighty, and I never understood why I was perceived that way. And I think people are seeing the shift in me now. They don't know why, but I am a much more grounded person. I understand grounding now. I didn't before. You know, you'd always hear people say, oh, that person is so grounded, but that meant nothing to me, right? But from this standpoint, you know, it just means like you are rooted into your center, into the earth, you're present, I just think what I learned about myself at a young age is that I was trying to be anywhere but in my body. I was trying to escape this reality, and I was trying to live out somewhere else, escape how I felt in my body and in my emotions and all my bodies. And so that's been a profound shift for me, just learning how to be centered, be in the body, and the importance of something almost so simple. And just knowing what that feels like within the body to be grounded, present, has been life-changing for me. So that alone has been huge for me, I will say, that alone. So, yeah, that's about all I'll say about that.
Yeah, I can totally relate to that. I also always heard people say, you know, be grounded, or you need to ground more, or you're not grounded, and I didn't really understand what they meant. And yeah, I would agree that maybe doing this work and this program has kind of led to us to being more easily grounded without effort. It kind of just happens naturally because we're more balanced in the mind, body, soul. Asia, do you have anything to add to that? Have you noticed any changes in your bodies, like your mental, your emotional, your physical bodies through this work?
Yeah, one of the biggest things for me that I notice as I heal and I am able to deepen that connection, it's like my intuition gets so much louder, because I experienced a lot of trauma in my younger years. So I was someone who liked to dissociate. Like I'm like Jill, like when you said you're not present, it's like I was never present. Like I really got that I was a spiritual being that had a body, but a body almost felt like a waste of time. Like, oh, I have to feed myself again. Like if my daughter wasn't home, like I could easily skip like two or three meals in a row, because like feeding the avatar felt like a chore, or like having to move my body. And so I spent a lot of time like in the mental space, or, you know, imagining stuff. And I feel like that made me a great manifester, but I also wasn't present to my body. I used a lot of different coping skills and ways to numb out. So as I've healed through my issues and I'm able to be present in my body for longer periods of time, it's like our bodies are designed to give us information. So it's like, you know, our intuition isn't something that only speaks when there's something to be scared of. It's like you can get answers, you can get guidance, you can get yes or no, you can get like the littlest bits of information, you can get almost like no funny things. Like it doesn't have to be so heavy to have like those cues in your body. Like I've noticed I just know stuff now, and my psychic senses are opening up in different ways. Like I hear things a lot more. I see a ton of stuff. So definitely what's changed in my physical body since doing the healing work and the shamanism is I can see energy totally differently than before. And my experience of it is so different. And I grew up with, my mom was a personal fitness trainer. So she always said, your issues are in your tissues, was one of the things she always said. And I didn't realize that that was like actually very spiritually profound. It's not just like our emotions that get stored in our body. It's all sorts of things in our mental body, our spiritual body, our emotional body, and our physical body are so deeply connected, and they're always talking to each other and trading information. And when we neglect one of those bodies, it doesn't just stay there. It trickles into the other one. So definitely as I've healed my spiritual aspect, I definitely noticed a way greater sensitivity in my physical body and emotional too, I guess.
Yeah. So you're talking about your intuitive gifts coming online. I'm always, or more accurate or more developed. I'm always interested in knowing how different people receive their information. Can you speak more about that? Like how you're receiving your intuitive information now, or maybe like what you're receiving in session and how it's gotten stronger, and how maybe like any insights or perceptions you've received from your sessions and what you can see?
So before, I've always been pretty intuitive, but it would come out in jokes. Like I'd make a sarcastic joke and someone would be like, oh, how'd you know that? But my sarcasm would almost come out faster than my brain would work, which is how intuition works, which is why my sarcastic jokes were always like bang on. But that didn't seem very reliable. Like I didn't know when I was going to be intuitive. I was just, it would happen. whereas now I can call on it. I know how to look inward. Sometimes I get like a sensation in my body, like things will feel light or feel heavy as a yes or a no, or I'll feel expanded or contracted. And I really notice that as an indicator of whether I should do something or not do something. Like if I think about maybe doing something for work and I feel contracted in my body, I just know it's a no. So my body has a lot of cues. Visually, I see this. I'm like, is this going to sound crazy? I can see fairies. I see certain layers of auric fields now. I see some heavier things that are kind of freaky. I see, and then I guess I'm hearing things more. It's instead of just having like a knowing sensation, it's like, okay, so now my vision, like all the clairs are opening up. So my clairaudient, like sometimes I'll hear it. Sometimes I'll see it. So I guess my clairs are opening up as opposed to it just being predominantly a knowing sensation before, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. That's kind of how I work too. I kind of receive it from all angles and I can call upon it more as, because before, like, you know, more than 5 years ago, it would be more sporadic. Like I would know that I was getting intuition, but I wouldn't be able to control it. But the one thing that I haven't really gotten yet is seeing with my physical eyes. I'm not sure if it's a blockage that I don't want to see any of the darker stuff, but it's something that I'm trying to work on to open up that more, because I want to see the... And I've also been really drawn to like plant medicine recently. So I'm not sure if that's something that I would have. Any of you guys had any experiences with plant medicine, or do you guys think, what are your guys like opinions on that for enhancing the experience? Maybe we can start with Warren.
Sure. I really like that, Asia. Your issues are in your tissues. That's fantastic. I found my intuition was actually more ideas that were floating into my head, and they were just sort of bypassed and disassociated with. I now write a lot more than I used to. I now get a lot of words come to me, and I get a lot of ideas, and I write them down. And I don't necessarily act on every one, but at least I write it down and then I could think about it again later and see if it's something that resonates with me. So that's on the intuition side. I think on the plant medicine side, I'm with you. I don't think I gave it enough credit. I don't think I actually appreciated the plant medicine like I do now, as I never appreciated as much nature and how grounding nature is and how much a walk in nature can change your energy. Mother Nature is the ultimate healer. She's the ultimate provider. And Mother Earth is here to assist us and guide us if we are willing to accept her support and her help. And I think the profundity of that is something that it's new, like new as in the last probably 3 years, and something that I just do as a habit now. I'll go for a walk. I try to go for a walk every single day, and sometimes in nature and sometimes in the mountains and sometimes around a lake or water, because they all have different energies and they all really provide a different support mechanism. And it's really cool to feel that change in your body and that change in your mind after going for a walk versus like before, if you're spinning out of control and you go for a walk and come back, you're like, wow, I feel different. I feel way better. And so that's my experience.
Yeah. And I think it's important to remember that intuition is the natural state, and everyone has the ability to tap into their intuition. They might not recognize their gifts because they are very subtle. And we've had lots of, you know, distractions and, you know, whether it's the food, what's in the air, the water, social media that's kind of distracted us and disconnected us from this, and nature really is the key. So like for anyone listening, if you want to develop your intuition more, connecting with nature would help that for sure. I also wanted to touch on, because I know Asia and Warren, you both talked about manifestation and being drawn to the self-development world, and maybe almost that was being almost like an addiction. Do you want to talk a little bit about how, maybe Asia, if you can share a little bit how to manifest properly? I hope you don't mind me sharing, but what you've shared with me, but once, you know, you did, you know, for all the single people out there, you made that list of all the qualities that you wanted in someone, and you got what you asked for, but they were more kind of superficial qualities, and then you remembered it, you had to kind of make it more well-rounded. Maybe like if you could share with us any like pitfalls about manifesting or how to do it properly or the intention behind it and what you've learned and what you do now.
Yeah, sure. I think manifestation is like oversimplified sometimes, and the whole thoughts become things is true. And I also think there's more to it. So you're not going to manifest every thought you have, which I think is where people get that like toxic positivity when it comes to spirituality, and people are like, I have to like, you know, spiritually bypass this by thinking everything needs to be like love and light. And I don't think that's the case when it comes to manifesting. The more I studied it, the more I realized that it's your belief and your belief system that will call things into existence. So just because you thought about that doesn't mean it's going to come true. If you truly, truly believe something is going to happen for you, it's much more likely to happen and you're much more likely to call it in. So what we want is to become the frequency of that which we desire to call into our life. And so a good indicator as to what frequency you're at is usually where your emotions are at, because your emotions will kind of tell you if you need like an easy manifesting 101 tip. And then connecting with the ideas of the thing that you all want as though you already have it. So let's say, I know people like to talk about money when it comes to manifesting. So let's say you're trying to call in $10,000. I would instruct my client to feel the feelings in your body of already having it. What would that be like for you? How would you experience that? What would the like physical sensations in your body be? And then sometimes I'll say something like, okay, so if I were to walk up to you on the street and I were to just hand you $10,000, how would you feel? And sometimes people will be like, oh no, I couldn't accept that, or I feel guilty, or I'd be like, why are you giving this to me? And stuff like that, which makes sense, but it's like, okay, that's pointing to your belief systems, which are really, really important when you're anchoring in a frequency. So if you feel like you now owe me something, is that a belief that you have? Is it true that, you know, when you receive something, you now feel indebted to someone? If you feel like you don't deserve it, or you're not worthy, or you didn't earn it, so you can't keep it, like what thoughts come up for you? And then you pull them apart. Okay, is that ultimately true? You know, if it's a thought that or a belief that isn't serving me, what would be a slightly more positive thought? What could serve me better? What beliefs would I like to replace this with? If all of our beliefs are, you know, to a degree make believe, what could you choose to believe instead that would be more powerful for you? And so when you look at, you know, all the reasons why you think you might not be able to have something, and you flip the script on that and you realize, oh, I actually can have the things that I want, and you plug into that belief system instead, and then you feel the emotions behind that supportive belief system, we begin to, you know, move things from the spiritual realm or the realm of possibility into the material, into the 3D. And what else was I going to say about manifesting? Shoot, I can't remember. Does that help?
I think it's also, yeah, so that's great. So you've kind of taken the simple, someone coming to you saying they want to manifest something, and then you've actually reverse engineered it using some of the practices in shamanism, such as like shifting and getting to the core of any limiting beliefs to actually make it work easier, which just shows that, you know, a modality like shamanism is something that could help you in all areas of your life. And I think it's also important to remember that for manifesting, it's always good if it's, you know, for the highest and best potential for all. Like, it's not about having this money. It's like, what are we going to do with the money? Is it to bring you freedom so you have more time to be in your life purpose? Or is it to buy material things that don't really serve humanity? I don't know if you guys would agree with that.
I definitely agree with that. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're kind of, maybe we can just go around one more time. We're running a bit, we're getting towards the end of the hour. Maybe we can just go around one more time and ask why healing is so important at this time in the world, like based on your viewpoint. Maybe we can start with Jill.
Oh my goodness, where do I start? I believe that now at this time, although like many believe, there's more and more light coming onto the planet and more people are being asked to kind of awaken to who they really are, their purposes, and people are being forced to kind of see through a lot of illusion and a lot of the ways in which the world has been oppressing humanity. So I do believe that this is the time that it is necessary, especially most recently the world has gone through a lot of trauma. We are being asked and forced to wake up, many of us, or like work on our traumas and change the world, become who we want to be, or envision a new way of being into existence. And that comes with us doing our own work, personal work, because it starts with ourselves. And then we, you know, kind of bring it to the rest of the world that way. That's the start of it. So now I do believe that is why the world more than ever needs more healing more than ever before. I think I'd like to share that the shaman that we are learning from right now has expressed that he believes that this has been kind of the darkest period since what, World War II, was it, you guys, or is it since World War III? I don't know if
I think we're in World War III right now.
Yeah, there we go. Yes, you're right. Sorry, we're in World War III right now, exactly. And thank you. I don't know if this will resonate with all the listeners, but I think this is why, in the best way that I can explain it, that it now more than ever, we as a collective, we as a whole need to heal. Can anyone add to that?
How about Isha? Do you have something to add?
Yeah, I think that there are different levels of consciousness that we have access to at different points in time. And what is online right now, like 5D consciousness is here, there's 6D consciousness is coming in. And in order to get to these ascended, lighter states, we can't be carrying the same sort of heavy like conditioning and belief systems and, you know, crap that we've been fed. And some of those things are you know, like codependent relationships, some of the things are the trauma, some of the things are, you know, on a macro scale, what's the deception that is happening on a global scale, the ways, you know, not to get all put on my tinfoil hat here, but there are things happening in the world that when people become present to and they bring awareness to it and they can make different choices for themselves around it, and we step into our power around being sovereign beings, we're able to ascend and grow and step into and harness higher levels of consciousness. And so I think really that's done through healing. So I think healing is a vital part of being able to raise the frequency of the planet, raise the consciousness of the planet, and start creating different realities that come from a heart-centered place and come from what, like you said, like serves ourselves and others and the planet in a way that hasn't historically been done in the recent past. So I think healing's probably always been important, but there's like a velocity behind it right now, and there's numbers and there's people. It's gaining traction in a way that we're able to take on some of the old paradigms and shift them through healing individually, because it's a drop in the bucket for the collective, and it does create a better space for the world.
Totally. And I have this vision, and it's been confirmed by other people. There's something about like not being able to take our trauma with us into these higher levels of consciousness. So some people that have an aversion to healing their trauma is because they don't want to revisit or relive anything. And it's important to remember that we're not reliving anything. We're observing it and healing it, because unresolved trauma can present in many ways in your life. Like some people might say, oh, I don't have any trauma, but they have this uncontrollable anger issue. They don't know why. Well, that's a trauma response. So it's important to any kind of limiting belief or behavior or addiction or something that's kind of you feel is holding you back, that can be healed through shamanism, and it can also prepare you to be in alignment more with, you know, higher states of consciousness, because the ascension is happening whether you like it or not. So it's, do you want a smooth ride or do you want a bumpy ride? I guess that would be the question that I would have for anyone thinking about starting a more formal healing journey. And then maybe we can just get to Warren. What are your thoughts about why it's so important to heal at this time in the state of the world?
Yeah, I think the awareness around what's going on in our bodies, in ourselves, and as a collective is in a place that it's never been before.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe not in sort of this physical 3D sense. We are breaking old patterns. We are healing generational wounds that caused our ancestors enormous amounts of pain. And we're becoming aware of the fact that the best way to contribute to the collective and to contribute to the ascension of mankind and human beings is to work on ourselves and to become more aware of the fact that we are spiritual beings. We are light energy having a physical experience. And that doesn't change. We talk ourselves out of that sometimes, but it doesn't change the fact that that's who we truly are. And when you consider that and consider the fact that a lot of the propaganda, a lot of the fear that's being pushed in society today is a distraction from this awareness, from this really, this key point that we are light beings, that we are here to experience life. And, you know, we're all sort of motivated and we all want to do the best we can with what we have. But what are our beliefs and what are the systems? What are the patterns that we've come from, that our parents had, that their parents had, and that we are moving away and sort of through? And healing that is the biggest part that we can have, in my opinion, in this day and age.
Totally. Like a lot of people, they're always asking, you know, what's my purpose? Why am I here? What's my mission? And it's kind of like through the healing work, that's how you discover that. I can also relate it to, like, you know, people that they're super focused on a relationship and making a relationship work, but the answer always comes back to your own self-healing. Like, heal yourself, you heal your relationships, you heal the planet. And that's kind of how we get out of this mess that we're in collectively. Okay, well, thank you guys for the discussion. We just have a couple minutes left, so we'll just go around quickly. If you can just state, you know, your name, where people can find you, or any projects that you're working on. So we can start with Jill.
Okay, so again, this is Jillian Coper. Currently, I'm not advertising my services at the moment, but I will be. So I'm not really someone you can just find a page on at the moment, but soon to come.
Awesome. And Asia?
Okay, so I'm Asia Wishart, and I set the intention to grow my business through Instagram and word of mouth because I do not love all techie things. So the best way to find me is on Instagram at the.asia.wishart. There I talk a lot about healing. I talk about both modalities of shamanism and theta healing, and I also offer private high-level spiritual life coaching, which includes the manifesting, the intuition, the healing. It's really integrative. So if that is kind of your jam and you're into that sort of thing, that would be the best place to find me.
Thank you. And Warren?
I, like Jill, haven't really launched my platform yet. So my Instagram page is W Coughlin, C-O-C-H-L-I-N. I'm in the process of sort of bringing forward a program which includes breathwork, meditation and stillness, and healing. And it'll be launched by the end of this year. And I look forward to providing some services that allow people to find their center, be more grounded, and I look forward to guiding them on their own spiritual journey.
Yes, I'm really excited to learning more about that once it's launched. And then just myself, I'm Christine. I'm a tarot card reader and an energy healer. Best way to find me is my website, higher-heart-healing.com. I'm also on YouTube. I post a lot of collective tarot card readings and updates, Instagram and Facebook. So thanks again, everyone. Thank you, Jill. Thank you, Asia. Thank you, Warren. Thanks for being here. This was a really wonderful discussion. And I'm excited to continue working with you guys and seeing what else is coming out there for us.
Thank you, Christine,
thank you, everyone,
for bringing us all together.
Yes, thank you so much.
To be here, participate, yeah.
You're welcome.
I agree. This was fun. Thank you for creating a space for this conversation to happen and to organize it and bringing us all together for it. This was really fun.
You're welcome. It was fun. Thank you.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at News for the Soul. .com. Now let's get back to the show.
You're listening to News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained since January 1997. We began our 25th year in broadcasting in January 2022, and we're just getting started. Exploring the edge of human consciousness and possibility on planet Earth with founder and journalist Nicole Marie Whitney at the helm. What's really real? And what's really possible? That is what we want to know. Join us at newsforthesoul.com. Newsforthesoul.com.